Welcome into the Siouxland Sports Insider Leadoff Man podcast, and we have a postseason edition going now with all the playoff baseball around us. We'd like to thank our sponsors, Sioux City Ford. Wendy and her team over there on Singing Hills do a great job. They'll put you in a nice vehicle and get you back on the road. Pizza Ranch on Floyd. Today's Tuesday, so kids eat free on Tuesdays. And our good friends at Fairway, our favorite grocery store. Go there, get all your grill goodies for the upcoming weekend, and pretty soon we'll be tailgating for football with Fairway. So excited about their sponsorship as well. And Mitch, ladies first here, we'll go ahead and I'll let you unveil some softball news.
3 straight years in a row, Rems in the same area is going to go to Fort Dodge after a very impressive 10-0 victory over Logan Magnolia. Little lightning delay is not going to hurt anyone. Definitely not going to hurt Rems in St. Mary's.
Not at all.
They did it with their experience. You know, you had Bunkers, you had Cronin, you had Schroeder. They did what they had to do. First time in the go-bound era that they faced off against Logan Magnolia, handled their business. Only lost one game on the year as they sit at 24-1. Brackets haven't came out yet for Rems and St. Mary's, and actually really in any class. But I think that this is going to be one of the top seeded teams, and definitely going to be a team that's going to represent the Siouxland area really well at Fort Dodge. I think even honestly has a chance to win it. I think they've gone 3 straight years. They're loaded with a ton of juniors. What better time to win it than now? You know, then even if you have to next year, go back and win a second one. Yeah, oh, darn.
Exactly. And, you know, you talk about, you know, being a game away from winning it all the last 2-3 years. You know, there's no better substitute than experience. And that experience at the state tournament is priceless. And I look for that to parlay into good things for them over in Fort Dodge,
Mitch. Well, and that, I kind of think that's what led them to being 24-1 on the season is the experience. Like, granted, they have mostly juniors on this roster, but it's juniors that when they were freshmen, you know, they got a taste of the state tournament. When they were sophomores, they got a taste of the state tournament. And you know, they've been in big games before. They've won big games before. And they kind of understand and expect a certain level of softball to be played out of each and every single one of them. And, you know, it's correlated into an amazing season. Like I said, I think they're probably going to be one of the top teams that are left in softball in 1A, and I think they got a really good shot. We'll just have to see how they get paired up.
Yep, exactly.
2A, we're partying like since before I was born. 76, last time West Monona went to the state tournament. They are getting hotels booked as we speak. They win 6-7 over North Union after a late rally in the seventh inning. North Union puts up 3 runs to make it a close game, but West Monona holds on, does what they did all year. You have the inspired pitching of Miller, the good hitting by Miller, and then the Brooklyn Pekarek, the senior, had 2 hits in the game and drove in 2 runs of the 7 for West Monona. It's a team that, you know, honestly, even like the parents probably weren't the last ones that were able to go to the state tournament. It'd be a long, long time coming for both these teams. You know, it's kind of a thing to where no matter what happens now, this team that played in the 2022-2023 season can come back and look 10 years after they graduated and go, hey, that banner hanging out the softball field, that was us. You know, it's cool to see those traditions and things that haven't happened for a very long time happen again. I don't think there's a more deserving team in 2A to win it. With all that they've been able to do this year, they've been clearly the most dominant team in the Siouxland area in 2A, and just a well-deserved victory. They've won close games. They've won blowouts. You know, they've lost a couple of their fair share of games to really, I wouldn't say humble yourself because they're high school kids, but to understand the feeling of losing a game, a close game, or a blowout game. This team's battle-tested. They're good. I think, you know, just because they're on this side of the state, they might get a sneakier to lower draw at the tournament. But even if they're a 6 or a 7 seed, which I think is, you know, blasphemous, mm-hmm. but even if they are a lower seed, this is a team that you cannot take lightly. They're gonna hang with the teams on the east side of the state, the Des Moines schools, you know, the teams up in the, you know, the Cedar Falls region. They're gonna hang with a lot of teams. They hit the ball extremely well. They're behind some of the best pitching in 2A. Their ERAs are low. They're on their base path. They're smart with it. You know, they drew 3 walks in their last game, so they're smart. They also reached on errors. They had the same amount of strikeouts as North Union did. It's a team that plays together softball, and there's no reason why they're at the representing 2A at the state tournament. And, you know, their record, 28-6, you know, almost 30 wins on the season to only 6 losses. It's very impressive what they've been able to accomplish this season. But, you know, the old adage and the old saying goes, job's not finished. They still got 3 more games that they want to play.
Right. Job's not finished. And, you know, for my money, I think they'll find a way to get that 30th win in Fort Dodge. And, you know, credit goes to their junior, senior class. They've got some gals that have played a lot of innings. And they're experienced enough to go down there and make an impact in Fort Dodge, Mitch.
Yeah, and, you know, it's kind of unfortunate that we only had a 1A and 2A school make it to Fort Dodge. 3A, Estherville Lincoln Central lost in you know, kind of gut-wrenching fashion. And you go to 4A, Sergeant Bluff lost to Boyden Hall Rock Valley. They end their season at 33-7. Helan lost to Spencer 9-4 and end their season at 18-20. And then Spencer, really close game after they beat Helan 2-4, Dodge lost by 1 run. So the championship game there will be Boyden Hall Rock Valley versus Fort Dodge in Fort Dodge. I believe Boyden Hall will make it to Fort Dodge, but only just to play this tournament championship game. Fort Dodge will advance and play, as they normally do, seems like every year, at home at the state tournament. Going up now to the 5A bracket, and Sioux City East lost to Des Moines Lincoln 10-0, and Des Moines Lincoln will now host or play at Waukee Northwest, who has a 30-11 record. Should be a good matchup between the two Des Moines area schools. I believe Waukee Northwest has a bit of the advantage, but should be a good game nonetheless. Sioux City East ends their season at a 26-14 record. I thought Sioux City East was playing some of the best softball later in the season, but unfortunately just kind of ran into a buzzsaw with Des Moines Lincoln and lost that one. Sioux City West lost to North, and the North lost to Valley 10-0. Then North ends their season at 23-13. Valley goes to play Johnston, which is actually the same matchup in baseball, which we'll get to in a second here. Valley being the heavy favorite in softball, though, with a 33-8 record. Been one of the best teams in softball all year. North just kind of unfortunately had to run into them. And then Valley really kind of showed why they are so dominant. But I think, you know, we talked about it before, the MRAC conference is so loaded in softball that in these next couple years, the conference is going to be wide open. I know, obviously, none of these girls want to hear how good of a season they're going to have next year and how great of an accomplishment all their records and everything were this year. But this conference beats the crap out of each other in baseball and in softball, mm-hmm. to where teams are battle-tested, but also teams are, you know, towards the end of the year, run down. And I think that definitely, you know, plays a factor into a lot of these games. But, you know, credit to the teams that made good and long runs. And, you know, we'll sit here come the beginning of the season next year and talk about, hey, what 5 or 6 teams in the MRAC are going to win the conference this year? Because I think it's going to be that close in softball next year.
Yeah, I think it will too, Mitch. And, you know, one thing that you and I have kind of talked off the mic about is, you know, these kids have places to go in the winter months to improve their game, work in the batting cage, play catch, you know, fundamental infield drills, outfield drills. There's places to go to make yourself better. And, you know, these kids have been doing that, and I think they'll continue to do so. But I'm excited about, you know, next year's senior class, next year's junior class. They played a lot of softball, and they will again next year as well.
Yeah, I honestly think it could be a a coin flip league. And I kind of got at that earlier, but you know, Sergeant Bluff the last 2 years have really had a stranglehold on it. Had a really good season this year. And you lose some seniors, some really key seniors, but just kind of the way that the season ended against Boyden Hall, if they're going to be determined to come back and play better softball, North was extremely improved. You know, Lamar's played really good ball towards the end of the year. You have teams like East, Helan started off, you know, slow with their girls at state soccer, but a lot of those young girls got experience. That team's going to grow and develop. You have the Des Moines school or the Council Bluffs schools. I thought Lincoln played better this year. It's going to be a really tough conference going into softball for next year, but you know, that's the reason that we do this podcast and we watch all the games, is because that's what it is. It's fun. It's good competition, and you know, we see it day in and day out of the MRAC conference for both softball and baseball. But you know, unfortunately, the softball being played in the MRAC is done for the year. But we'll move over to baseball side. Again, these games all in the bracket of 1A are played today, the 11th of July. Then the bracket seeding, once they are champions are crowned, will be coming out later after that. So far, no one has a bracket out for softball or for baseball yet, because there are some rainouts and delays being played. But going into baseball, a team that we talked about a lot that's really floated around the 2-1 region all year has been Kingsley Pearson. They've taken on a really, really good Newell Fonda team, who actually handed them one of their two losses on the year, 5-4, just back on the 27th of June there. So it's a great matchup between two teams that on paper look the exact same. Yeah. You know, you have Ryan Greenfield, the hitter for Newell Fonda. Mason Dix, also a very good RBI leader for them. You go to Kingsley Pearson side. We've talked about Boston Duquette all year. Great hitter, hitting .516, which is just unheard of.
Yeah, phenomenal.
Four home runs, five triples, seven doubles, 47 RBIs, 16 stolen bases. I mean, he probably cooks the burgers before the game. There's not a thing that this kid doesn't do well. He's also one of their better pitchers on the mound. Evan Newman is a great pitcher for them as well. I believe he'll probably get the nod for this game. Mason Dix, we talked about for Newell Fonda, great pitcher as well. And then Ty Traber with a .81 ERA on the season. That's a great ERA. You know, pitched 17 in the third inning, so not a ton of innings, but 20 strikeouts in those innings. Go over to Kingsley Pearson side, and then you got Evan Newman, a .59 ERA with 35 and a half innings, or a third innings pitch with 52 strikeouts. I see a similar game in both those guys. Just Ty just probably hasn't pitched as much. Going to be a low-scoring game. Last time they played 5-4, I could see some points being shaved off of this one. I think a 3-4 finals more in the books. A game that's going to could possibly go to extra innings. But I think of all the matchups, this is the closest game that'll be played between Newell Fonda and Kingsley Pearson. KP wants to make it down to Carroll again. They want to rewrite their loss to Remsen, they had in the second round last year, and this is a KP team that understands their message to all their fans and to their underclassmen of, hey, we're here and we're here to stay, and we're a darn good baseball club, and we deserve to be a team that's talked about going to Carroll every single year. And I think obviously they're one win away, and hopefully they can pull through, and you know, these seniors get at least one or two more games on their schedule.
Yeah, that'd be great. And you mentioned how good of a program it is. It really is. And, you know, I remember them catching fire last year, too. And it's just, there's been some consistency there over the last 3-4 years that should be noted. And, you know, I look for them to advance tonight. I think things are in their favor playing at home. And if they just do what they normally do, I think they'll advance, Mitch.
Yeah, and I think, well, honestly, too, you talk about being the home team. You know, last at-bats are crucial. You bat in the bottom part of the inning, and it's huge. You know, you have a tie ball game, you're able to drive one run across, and all of a sudden you don't have to do any more damage. You're done. You won the game.
Know what you
need. So, you know, being the home team a lot of times has its advantages. And you know, I think it's, like I said, it's gonna be a dogfight. I don't think this game goes seven innings. I could see it going eight or nine. You're gonna play some extra free baseball, which is what we all love to see, anyways.
Yeah.
But some good games. Moving on to another good game. Rems of St. Mary's, a team that's been there, done that, had the MO. You're pretty much almost a shoo-in at the state tournament every single year. This year they have a different roadblock in front of them. This year Woodbury Central is matched up in their bracket in Section 7, and it's a little different feel. Woodbury Central the last couple of years has gotten knocked out by the Kingsley Pearson team we just talked about. You look at the teams here. Jackson Bunkers, obviously the reason he's talked about a lot, great hitter, hitting .474. When you go to the other side, Woodbury Central, Eric McGill's hitting .574.
Mm-hmm.
You know, has 10 more stolen bases and two more doubles and the same amount of home runs as Jackson has. It's a team that, where if you looked on paper, you'd be like, these teams are pretty similar, but then you look at logos and what the teams are, and you'd be like, okay, I give the advantage to Remsen. The game of baseball is loved by so many because of this reason. I don't care how many great innings you play. If you play one bad inning, you can lose to anyone on your schedule.
Yeah.
Woodbury Central, if they come in and play a solid seven, eight, however many innings it takes, and they don't let the bats of Bunkers and Homan and, you know, Ortman get to them, and they pitch well, they're going to stay in this game until they honestly, not that they don't want to, until they can't anymore.
Yeah.
And if you're Remsen, don't give them the chance.
Yeah.
You know, they played back in 2021 was the last time they played. Remsen won 10-0. The last 10 times they played, they won 9-1. Every chip is stacked in Remsen's favor, but Woodbury Central still has a chip to play.
Yeah.
And if you can force their hand to Remsen St. Mary's, you got a chance to play. You know, there's an old saying our coach said it for football. All I need is a chip and a chair.
Yeah.
And right now, Woodbury Central has a chip and a chair.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do with that chip and chair? Are you going to be able to go up against the team in Remsen, who you're going to see, if you do advance, you're going to see teams just like Remsen down at the state tournament. Is this the year Woodbury Central advances onto the state tournament? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It's very unfortunate that they had to play against another team that I love talking about in Remsen St. Mary's, a team that went to the state tournament, went to the state championship game last year, has a ton of experience. You know, you talk about they have two sophomores that are really good, one pitching, and are both pitching, and then one hitting. Colin Holman done a really good job being a multi-way player. But I think the experience of getting farther into the postseason helps Remsen St. Mary's in this one, but it's going to be a great game. You know, I'm obviously going to hate to see the loser of the game, but that's just kind of the way that baseball goes, and it shows how congested 1A was in just the Siouxland region. There's four or five teams in 1A that could have gone and represented the Siouxland area, but they just had to weed each other out.
That's a great point. A lot of talent over in this area. And people know that. One thing I will say about Woodbury Central, we've gotten to know these kids quite a bit through football and then, of course, you know, basketball and now baseball. These kids they're hard-nosed kids. They'll come to battle and, you know, they don't shy away from any challenge. So they'll be given their best shot here tonight.
Absolutely. A challenge that was taken by Galen Catholic, taking on an Akron Westfield team, which I thought was the best second round matchup in 1A. Well, technically third round because they play a little bit bigger brackets. But 1-0 victory for Galen Catholic. They stuck it out. Senior Keaton Logan, Carter Kellen, Zane Welland, and Ryan Augustine. You talk about Connor Kraft, too. It's just a senior-led roster that's not just one kid.
Mm-hmm.
That they all do a job, in a sense. And it's a team that I think has kind of flown under the radar on the year. They're 22-5. They've only lost five games. Their last loss was to a Newell Fonda team where I think, you know, they – I don't say they were sleeping, but they were kind of getting ready for postseason play. They rattle off a game against Siouxland Christian, 15-0, Lawton Bronson, 14-7, and then the Akron Westfield game. And then in the previous game before Newell Fonda, they beat Hinton 9-8. Won close games, lost close games, won blowout games. That's everything you need for a team that's going to be battle-tested going into a game. And they're going to need to be battle-tested taking on West Harrison because of they're not a one-man show, but the stats say otherwise. Mason King is that dude.
Yeah.
And he's going to be on the mound for them. He's has a .39 ERA, 65 strikeouts, and got 5 wins on the year. But not only that, he's also one of the more dangerous bats that are in. He's got 39 hits a .448, has 5 triples, 5 home runs, 35 stolen bases.
Wow.
I mean, just the kid does everything well. Yeah. And if you can take him away from the game plan, where if you're able to hit him well, put him back into the field, and then keep him off the base path, if you're Galen, you got a good shot. Yeah. It's very hard to stop one person that's good at a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Galen will take it as a win if they can either shut his bat down or shut his pitching down.
Yeah.
You can't have him beat you both ways. When he's able to beat you both ways, West Harrison's hard to beat. There's a reason they're 23-3.
Yep.
But this game comes down to, I think the pitching matchup for this game is going to be huge. It's going to be a defensive-led game. Akron, Westfield versus Galen, I thought was extremely defensive. Galen had to grit their teeth and play, a full 7-8 innings of solid baseball. And I think they're going to have to turn around and do it again. Do they have enough in the tank? They're one win away from going to the state tournament. I think they put all their chips in. We talked about it before. Just need a chip and a chair. Yeah. I think they put all their chips in, and I think Galen ends up beating West Harrison and punching their ticket to state. And we'll have 3 Siouxland teams in for the 1A bracket. And I think that's the best you could ask for.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Going into this year, and honestly, all 3 of the teams that end up making it, no matter who it is, I'll have a shot to win it. Yeah. Just with the amount of upsets and different things that have happened in the 1A and 2A brackets.
They'll just come down to matchups. And
absolutely.
Pitching, pitching matchups.
And hopefully, yeah. Hopefully they don't match up all the Siouxland schools in the beginning. Yeah, and exactly. We can have maybe even a Siouxland championship. That would be awesome.
Siouxland championship would be great.
No 2A school made it for baseball, unfortunately, but we'll move into the 3A bracket. And this 3A bracket we talked about before when they were announced, of any bracket, almost in any district, for any conference, for any class, 3A, Substate District 1, mm-hmm. was the hardest bracket that you could have played. Bishop Hill, not stake on Boyden Hall, Rock Valley. Not the hardest first round matchup, but then Spencer takes on Spirit Lake. Spencer's a good team.
Mm-hmm.
You go to the bottom side of the bracket. MOC takes on Sioux Center. They take care of business at the start. MOC is a top 10 ranked team. Then you go to Sergeant Bluff. The only team in the side that isn't of Bishop Heelan or MOC that's ranked outside of the top 10, but they're ranked at like 11.
Yeah,
they play Lamar's and have to walk them off. You have 3 teams ranked in the top 15 playing in the same sub-state. Obviously, only one can advance.
Right.
Like, that's just death by a thousand cuts, really.
Yeah.
Like, you're just having guys go up against each other. And honestly, any given bracket, Bishop Heelan could advance and go to state. MOC could advance and go to state. Spencer could advance and go to state. And Sergeant Bluff can advance to go to state.
Mm-hmm.
The 2 games that were played yesterday – shave up a state qualifier matchup that was the exact same as last year. Spencer is going to travel to Sergeant Bluff. If we started off the bracket and said Spencer and Sergeant Bluff would make it, I wouldn't believe you.
Yeah.
I thought Heelan was by far the better team this year. Ran into a game where they just didn't play their best against Spencer, and Spencer had Tiggis on the mound and threw 7 shutout innings. They scored 4 runs in, I believe, the 3rd inning, and that was the deciding factor. So Spencer wins at Lewis and Clark Park against Heelan. Heelan's season is done. kind of a disappointing end of that season. I thought that this was the team that could take them to the state tournament.
Mm-hmm.
They had really good pitching. Their hitting was, you know, timely, and they just did everything on the defensive side well. They didn't commit a ton of errors. Then they kept runners out of scoring position. I thought it was a good year for them. You go down and into the second time in the second round, Sergeant Bluff plays in, quote unquote, the game of the year against MOC. Man, I was at that game. That was the most, and for being a multiple run game, that final score is 4-7. That was the most roller coaster back and forth game I've been at. It was played like complete baseball, home run robbing catches, great pitching, great hitting, great base running, great coaching on both sides. Just a great game. MOC comes back after being down 6-0 to come within 2 at 4-6. Sergeant Bull puts a late run on and then shuts the door with Hunter Ector. Just neither team deserved to lose that game. It just Sergeant Bluff jumped out early really quick and was able to put their foot on the gas, and then they had 4 shutout innings leading up to MOC finally putting a run on the board, and that's, you know, inevitably what did it for them. I think if they play 10 innings, MOC is able to come back and tie it. That's just kind of the feel that it had. But they just kind of ran out of innings. Credit to MOC. They had an amazing year. They were my pick to represent 3A. Just kind of ran a game short of getting to that state qualifier. But now, Spencer, Sergeant Bluff, round 2. Again, the sequel. Spencer last year was kind of exasperated with the pitching that they had from the game before. You know, they threw Tagus, so he can't throw again tomorrow. Sergeant Bluff, I don't know who they're going to throw, but it's been a resilient group for Matt Nelson. And, you know, he's one win away, again, from taking his team down to the state title back-to-back years.
Yeah, I've been impressed with Sergeant Bluff just because of the way the youthful kids have been playing. Like, they're getting contributions from freshmen, sophomores, and they're not hiding kids out in right field or anything. Some of these kids are playing major spots, you know, across the diamond. They're performing well, and just his job and his coaching staff have done an excellent job of overcoming injury situations this summer. And, you know, they've been playing very good baseball. They can win a game a lot of different ways, and they've proven that over the course of the season.
Yeah, and I think that's the big thing that takes away from a team that's going to go to state and a team that's just going to win a lot of games during the regular season, because – you know, you understand what you get out of your conference teams, but going out of non-conference schedules versus teams that you've maybe only seen once or maybe you've never seen before for the season, and getting guys to buy in and know, hey, if we need you to come in and pitch an inning just to get us a couple outs, and getting those young kids to come in and do that, it's the trust that they have in their players. And they understand that it's not just one guy. It's not just 9 guys.
Yeah.
They got guys on the bench, you know, that come off the bench to throw an inning or come off the bench to play right field and make a key out. They rely on more than just one guy to do it for them. And the team comes together, and they play some of the best team baseball I've seen in a very long time. And, you know, like we said, it's credit to Matt and his staff, but it's also credit to those kids. Those kids got to put in the work before the season starts. You know, we talk about there's some kids that, you know, Drake Van Meter, a kid that was hitting probably the best on the team, goes out with an injury, won't play the rest of the season.
Yeah,
now has to be cheerleader in the dugout, yeah, and is a glue guy for that dugout team, you know, getting the guys ready and making sure they're able to do the job that they're able to do. Just a great team effort that they've had. And I think that if they keep playing the way that they've been playing lately, they got a couple more games left in the tank for them. So just credit again to Sergeant Bluff and what they've been able to do this year. And then obviously we talk about job's not finished. They still got some more games to go. So
yeah, exactly.
Moving into 4A, Johnston beat TJ. Johnston then jumps into the automatic qualifier game. Sioux City North loses to Abraham Lincoln in a kind of a crazy game. I thought North had a chance to compete against Johnston after beating Centennial on their senior night, and just wasn't in the cards for Sioux City North this year. Heck of a year. Conference championships for the first time since 2016.
Great turnaround.
Can't say anything more but give kudos to Tillo and the rest of his staff,
yep,
to those seniors at Sioux City North. This team turned, and I don't care, I'll say it's on blue in the face, this team won 13 games last year,
yeah,
and turned around, won the MRAC, were one of the top teams, were ranked in the state in 4A, and that's over some of these Des Moines schools that get all the publicity.
Mm-hmm.
They were ranked, they were good, their pitching was good. They had timely hitting. They won games, crucial games, against teams that they normally don't beat. They split against Sergeant Bluff and on their senior night, or on their chance to win. They beat the number one ranked team on senior night.
Yeah.
A lot of accomplishments, and granted, they probably would turn them all in to just have a win against Abraham Lincoln and to keep playing.
Yeah.
But definitely nothing to hang your hat on if you're Sioux City North.
No.
Played a heck of a season. Sioux City East, I thought, was playing some of the best baseball
second half of the season.
Yeah. Ran into a team that's just, I don't think there's a more hungry team in all of baseball. It's mm-hmm. a 15 win, now 16 win, Valley team, came in an 11 run Sioux City East. I think East was just kind of shocked on the first inning and just was never able to get back. But then Valley goes on and plays Abe Lincoln and walks them off.
Yeah.
Off of a hit by a pitch, and now they have to face Johnston, who's arguably mm-hmm. the best team in all of 4A. So
yeah.
I'm not saying that Valley gets a win, but it's going to be the best battle that Johnston's had in the last couple weeks with having to only play one game in the tournament. But being 32-8, it's going to be hard to beat. They have all their pitchers rested.
Yeah.
I'd like to see Valley at least give them a shot, mm-hmm. but definitely in the 4A bracket was a weird ending in Substate 3 for this side of the region. I don't think either or any of the Sioux City schools need to be mad or hang their heads, because we talk about Sioux City East. Most of that roster are freshmen and eighth graders.
Yeah, they got a lot of puppies over there at East.
And this roster for years to come, we talk about guys getting work in the offseason. This roster, maybe not even next year, maybe mm-hmm. not when they're sophomores. When this roster is mainly juniors and sophomores from the young guys that they have, I don't want to be a betting guy, but they're going to win the conference either as juniors or seniors they're just going to have a team that's been together for the last 4 years that have been through everything.
Yeah.
They have good players. They have really young, good players mm-hmm. that are going to learn to adapt to the system that East has.
Mm-hmm.
And you just got to get some sustainable pitching, because this team can hit the crap out of the ball.
Yeah.
And if you get some sustainable pitching that are able to limit your runs, this team is going to win a lot of games. Maybe not as much as their record-setting win 2 years ago. When they won the conference, and I believe they only lost one conference game or something like that.
They were
unbelievable. Yeah. But they're going to be close to that mold again when these guys get to age. And I know it's hard to, especially after losing a game like that to Valley, to be like, oh yeah, in 1 or 2 years we'll be fine. But it's gonna come down to those kids during off-season time getting swings in at the cages, working on fielding, pitchers getting their velo up, working on your breaking ball, different things like that. But East is in a good spot with as young a roster as they had this year, with the amount of games they won and the games that they did win,
mm-hmm.
they're in good shape. Obviously it's not the way that you wanted to end as a Black Raider, but I mean, man, sky's the limit for this team for next couple years.
Yeah, it really is. And you look at their fundraising efforts to get their indoor facility.
Yeah.
There's a lot of effort there. There's a lot of backing and support. So, I look for good things in the future there.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, that does it for the Lead Off Man podcast. We appreciate everybody listening in. And want to once again thank Sioux City Ford, Pizza Ranch, and Fairway. And we'll talk to you very soon on the Tournament Trail.